Tonight or this morning, we'll continue our look at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, or those events leading up to it. And there's some very interesting characters surrounding these events. We talked about Judas Iscariot, a man who loved money more than he loved Jesus, and he sold the Lord out because of that. We talked about Peter, who loved the Lord, no doubt about that, but he found out the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak, and it caused him to go to sleep in the garden. So when he was put on the spot, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we talked about Herod, who for the lust of the flesh rejected Jesus Christ. He was given over to a reprobate mind, and when he finally got around to speaking to Jesus face to face, he didn't want to receive the Lord. He just wanted to see him work some sort of miracle. And you got a lot of people like that in churches nowadays. They're there for hoping to see some great thing. They don't want Jesus. They just want to see a miracle. And so Herod was left out. Jesus wouldn't even say a word to him. We talked about Pilate, the man who lacked the courage to follow through on his conviction, which he did have. He believed Jesus to be innocent. He tried him. He examined him. He questioned him. He studied his life. He heard those that had witnessed against him, or tried to. And he said, "I find no fault in this man," in verse number 4. And we talked about how that Pilate six times tried to free the Lord, because he knew that Jesus was a just man and an innocent man, and yet he lacked the courage to stand for his principles. And in every one of these cases, we see an amazing thing. Whether it's Judas, Peter, Herod, or Pilate, whoever it may be, these men were aware of the circumstances. These men were aware of the situation. The scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, the elders, the leaders of the people, they were just bound and determined, this man has got to die. We've got to get rid of him. We've got to put him to death. And if any one of those men would have stood for or with the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have surely cost them their lives. And so for one reason or another, every one of them followed Satan's rule of life, which is skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And then right in the midst of all of this, we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ here, what we're going to look at today, as he relates to Barabbas. And we want to talk about him this morning. And we see Jesus Christ, who could have easily set himself free. No problem at all for him. We see him dying in place of another, one who deserved to die. Now, there's no question about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've studied this book of Luke. As you've read your Bible, you've seen what he's done in your own life. He's the one who spoke this world into existence. And he could have just as easily brought this world to an end with a word. The Bible says in the book of Acts, by him we live and move and have our being. He could have just as easily taken the life from every one of his accusers, every one of his opponents, rather than to lay down his own life. He could have just as easily performed one of the many miracles like he did throughout the Old Testament times. To think about that. I mean, listen, in the days of Exodus, smiting all of the firstborn in the days of, there in Exodus, in the days of number, what did he do? He opened up the earth and the enemies of God were swallowed up straightway into hell. In the days of Elisha, smiting with blindness all the armies so that they couldn't war, so they couldn't wage battle. in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, smiting those men with blindness so that they, the Bible says, they wearied themselves to find the door. In the days of Elisha, calling down fire from heaven and burning up his enemies. In any number of ways, the Lord Jesus Christ could have easily freed himself had he chosen to do so. But he came into this world for the purpose of laying down his life to die and to pay for the sins of the whole world. Now I venture to say if any man ever understood the truth of the gospel, if any man ever really knew and comprehended the gospel, it had to be Barabbas. Probably more so than any of us living today with all of our New Testament scriptures, which he didn't have. All the sermons we've heard, all the commentaries and books that have been written, I just doubt there's anyone who's ever understood the gospel as intimately as Barabbas. Let's read some of this. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse number 16, I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. That's Pilate speaking. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Okay, so he's committed treason. That's that sedition. And then he's a murderer. He's in prison. Verse 20, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him. Crucify him. All right. Now we're going to look at the other accounts. Let's first turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse number 15. Matthew 27:15. Okay, Matthew 27:15 says, Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would, anybody they chose, okay? And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. All right, now let's go look at Mark chapter 15. You notice we're collecting a few extra details as we look at each one of these. These do not contradict. They add more information one to the other. Mark chapter 15. Mark 15 and verse number 6. Mark 15, 6. Now at that feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. Notice they didn't have an answer to his question, What did he do? Because he didn't do anything deserving of death. They just wanted him dead. All right, one more in John, the next book, or after Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 18. You know, there are not many incidents that are recorded in all four Gospels, but this is one of them. And in each of these four Gospels, you've been given additional details that are not found in the others. All right, in verse 33, John chapter 18, verse number 33. The Bible says, Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. Notice, he didn't really want the truth. He wasn't really asking a question, because he didn't wait for an answer. He was just speaking those words in rebuttal of the words of Jesus Christ, basically disagreeing with what the Lord had just said. He just said, What is truth? And walked out. And saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Verse 39, But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye then, therefore, that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. All right, let's have a word of prayer one more time, and then we'll look at this. Father in heaven, as you show us these things concerning what Jesus did and how it affected the life of this man, Barabbas, we pray, Lord, you'd help us to see how it reflects upon our own life, our own salvation. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to see the wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ today in this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ has been betrayed. He's been arrested. He's been tried by the chief priests and the elders. And he has told them, I am. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob stands before you, manifest in the flesh. I am the Messiah, I am the Savior, I am the Alpha and Omega. They didn't like that. They rend their clothes, they cry out for his death, but they couldn't do it. They lacked the power to execute him because they're under the authority of the Roman rule. They're under the authority of the Roman government. And the reason they want to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ is that they're concerned about their position and their place within the nation. And they know that if they go forth and put this man to death, they will lose their political and their social privileges. And so they got to get somebody else to kill him. Okay, and so they take him off down to Pilate. They bring in one witness after another, and as we saw before, the only semblance of justice, true justice, in this entire proceeding is the fact that Pilate would only allow one witness at a time to come before him. That's the only semblance of justice in this whole affair. And what happened is, as Pilate sat there, everyone that came in and attempted to charge the Lord Jesus Christ with this crime and that crime, they all told a different story. They didn't match. Their stories didn't match. The Bible said not one of their witnesses agreed together. Not one. And so Pilate knew that these fellas had just sold Jesus out because they envied his power and his authority. He said, there's no fault in him. I find nothing wrong with him. They took him off down to Herod. Jesus wouldn't even give Herod the time of day, wouldn't say a word. Herod sent him back to Pilate. Pilate spoke to Jesus in private, and, well, didn't they have a nice conversation? Jesus said, why are you asking me if I'm a king? You've been telling people I am a king. You said I'm a king. I know what you said about me. And if Pilate wasn't shook up before, I'm sure he was shook up after Jesus said that, because Jesus hadn't been having meals with Pilate. Jesus hadn't been having these private discussions in the conference chambers with Pilate before this time. Jesus hadn't gone for any chariot rides, joy rides with Pilate and spent the day with him or anything. How did Jesus know what Pilate had been saying about him? He said, I'm a king, all right, but I haven't come to set up a kingdom this time. Pilate, you're making the same mistake that Peter made out there in the garden. I haven't come to fight. I've come to die. I haven't come to fight. I've come to bear witness to the truth. We'll get around to that fighting and that sword play next time. He says, I'm not going to pick up a sword this time. He says, but next time there's going to be a sword and it's going to be coming out of my mouth. It's the word of God. But he says, this time I've come to lay down my life. I've come to die for the sins of the whole world. And about that time, an amazing thing happens. This woman, Claudia, comes in. Her name is Claudia Procula, if you check the historical records, and she's the wife of Pilate. And by the way, this is proof that the book of Matthew was written during this time and that it's accurate. because only during the reign of Tiberius were the wives of governors permitted to accompany their husbands. When the Romans assigned a man to be a governor, he was not allowed to take his wife with him, except during one period of time right here, which ran about 5 to 10 years. So that fact helps us to date the Gospels and evaluate the accuracy of the book of Matthew. And Pilate's wife, she comes in while Pilate, her husband, is talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said, "Pilate, I got to tell you something. I don't want you to have anything to do with that man because he's a just man. And I had a dream about that fella and it scared me to death. And so I don't want you to fool with that man." Now there's two things very significant about that as we read it in Matthew 27. Number one, this is the last time in your Bible that God spoke to anybody in a dream. Okay? There isn't one case in all the Word of God of the Lord speaking to anybody in a dream after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not one case in all the book of Acts, not one case in any of the epistles, not one case in all of the book of Revelation. And you know, it's an amazing thing. Look what the Bible says there in verse 19 of Matthew 27. Notice how the Holy Spirit words this. Matthew 19, 20, or 27, verse 19. Says, "When he was set down on the judgment seat," on the judgment seat. Here is Pilate sitting on a judgment seat, and Jesus Christ standing before him. And suddenly in the mind of Pilate's wife is this image that she's dreamed about. Now, this is just a guess on my part. That's all I can do is guess. And so I'm telling you that up front because I like to tell you whenever I'm just speculating. But I can't help but believe by the way that this verse here is worded that Pilate's wife had a dream and she saw those two men in a reversed situation. I believe she saw her husband as the one standing and Jesus Christ as the one sitting on the judgment seat. She said, "Pilate, don't have anything to do with this just man." Well, Pilate, he's already trying to get rid of him. He's trying to get him off of his hands. Suddenly, he comes up with one last ditch expedient. There's one last item in his bag of tricks that he hasn't pulled out yet. And that is, there was a custom. As the Romans ruled over the Jews in Palestine, they had this custom. And every year at the Passover, they would free one prisoner, the people's choice. Okay, it was according to their will, whoever they wanted released. And they would turn this prisoner loose, clear that prisoner of all charges. So Pilate said, "Well, surely with all the people that Jesus has healed, with all of the blind men he's given sight to, with all of the hungry people that he has fed, with all of the poor whom he has loved, with all of the lepers that he has cleansed, with all of those that he's taught the way of truth, the way of righteousness, surely if I appeal to public opinion at a time like this, they would much rather have their king, the king of the Jews, than this fella, Barabbas." Easy choice, he thought. So Pilate makes that presentation. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, the king of the Jews. Ladies and gentlemen, Barabbas. In this man Jesus, I find no fault at all. You know he's never done anything wrong. Now Barabbas, on the other hand, I'm not even going to let you have a look at him. He's bound in chains right now in the prison house. we rounded up that bunch that he got together that was trying to overthrow the government. You know that he's a robber. You know that he's a thief. And not only that, but in the insurrection, in that attempt to lead that military coup and try to overthrow the government, he committed cold-blooded first-degree murder. And he's chained up right now in prison. Now let me ask you this. Let me ask you something. This lovely, honorable, decent King of the Jews, Jesus, or this despicable, robbing murderer, Barabbas, I can release to you one or the other. Whom do you choose? And Pilate, he had to be the most shocked man in all of the world when that mob began to cry out, Barabbas! 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 You say, why? Well, you know, why would the common crowd, why would they want that murderous man freed and not Jesus? The Bible says that the multitude was stirred up by the priests, moved by the priests who cried for Barabbas. You say, well, how in the world could just this little group of priests cause a great multitude of people to do such a thing? Let me show you. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 9. Let me show you how this thing works. John chapter number 9. In this chapter, there's a man that's born blind, and the Lord Jesus Christ performs a wonderful miracle, gives sight to this man. John chapter 9, the Gospel of John chapter 9. So this man who now has his sight, well, he goes down to the synagogue to show that he's received his sight. And those Pharisees give him a hard time because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. They're not glad. They're not happy that this man's eyes have been opened for the first time ever. They're not rejoicing that he can now see. They're not excited that someone who, for all intents and purposes, was without life because of his blindness in that day and time. No. Rather, they're upset about that. Because here is yet another follower of Jesus Christ. Now, what have these men been up to in the 3.5 years that the Lord Jesus Christ has been preaching and teaching and ministering to people? What have these religious leaders been up to? Look at John chapter 9, verse number 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Okay. Now, let's see. Are they telling the truth or are they lying? Did they know? Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. So here's what you do. You take a system of priesthood that's ordained in the Bible, God's priesthood, and then you use that priesthood not to minister God's truth to people, but to put yourself in a position of power and authority over the people. Once you've done that, in order to maintain your authority and your power, you teach the people that there is no way to heaven, there's no way to eternal life, but through the God-ordained priesthood. And once you've done that, and you've taught the people that made-up doctrine from their youth up, those people will do anything to keep from losing favor with those priests and being put out of Holy Mother Church. And that's the same system that exists to this very day. And so when the priests came by and said, you know the rules, you can confess Jesus if you want to, but if you do confess Jesus, you are out of the synagogue. And in the mind of a Jew in that day, you know what that meant to them? That meant, I can't go to heaven, because there's no salvation apart from that priesthood. That wasn't the truth, but that's what they had been led to believe. That's what they really believed. And you've heard that same lie. It still goes on to this very day. You want to go to heaven, you need to be in this church, you know. And so Pilate, you can almost see him taking a step back when they're crying for Barabbas, Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Let's talk about Barabbas. Bar, what is that? You've heard in the Bible of Simon Bar Jonah. I gave you the references there where the Bible defines that as son of Jonas, right? Simon Bar Jonah. Bar means son of, okay? Abba, what is Abba? It's the word for father, okay? You know what they had to choose between? The one, the son of the father, or the son of the fathers with an S. Okay? Son of the father or son of the fathers. This Barabbas, you know who he was? He was the priest's boy. He was their man. He was their buddy. He was by implication in league with them. And here's the son, Bar, Abba, son of the father. So they made the biggest mistake they ever made in their lives. They chose a murderer over the very Son of God. Now, you know, Barabbas had intended to set up a kingdom on this world. He had fought. Blood had been shed. Jesus said he would not fight. He said his kingdom was not of this world. Jesus was brought to Pilate on charges of insurrection, okay, sedition, treason, trying to overthrow the government. The same men desired Barabbas, who was genuinely guilty of that insurrection. But it just shows the hypocrisy of this entire scene here. Now let me talk to you about Barabbas for a minute. Like I say, I believe if anybody ever understood the gospel, it was Barabbas. Here was a man, and he is guilty. There's no question about that. He is guilty. He has been found guilty in court, and he's been sentenced to death. And there's no way out. He's bound in chains. He's in fellowship with other guilty men just like himself. and they're not getting out of those chains. They're not getting out of that bondage until the day they die. No way out for Barabbas. And then one morning, a knock on the door of his cell, and the jailer unlocks the door, throws that door open, walks over to Barabbas, removes the chains from his hands, removes the chains from his feet, and he says, "There's the door. You're a free man." Barabbas looks at him with a weird look on his face. "You can't fool me, man. I'm sentenced to die. I know where I'm going when I leave this cell. I'm going to die. I've been found guilty. I know there's no way out. Nobody's ever gotten out of this place." The jailer said, "Well, I'm telling you, you're free to go. You're free." He says, "What do you mean I'm free?" The jailer says, "Well, did you ever hear of a man named Jesus? Well, this man Jesus is dying in your place. He's dying your death in your place. He's an innocent man. He's a just man. He's a righteous man. He's never done anything wrong. And you dirty, good-for-nothing wretch, you get to go free because he's dying in your place." And you know something? Barabbas, he had been running with the wrong crowd long enough to know this just had to be a trick. You could just see him kind of carefully easing out of that cell, you know, watching over his shoulder, just waiting for something to happen, just watching every bend in that jail, every corner that he came around. He just knew there was going to be a soldier waiting there with a sword to run him through. He just knew it was some kind of a joke or something. That when he finally got to the door, and the door that led out of that prison, there would be a mob there to carry him off and hang him or something. He just knew something had to be up. This can't be right. But man, the farther he went, the more he realized this wasn't a joke after all. They really did mean to set him free. When he got to the door of that prison, and the jailer stopped, and Barabbas took one step, and nobody grabbed him, took a second step, nobody came after him, took a third step, nobody blew a whistle and called the guards because he was escaping. Hey, Barabbas took off down that road, and nobody went chasing after him. And it finally began to sink in. Maybe I really am free. Maybe I really have been set free. And he had. And it would just be, again, guesswork on my part, but I think it's a very well-educated guess. I know human nature pretty well. I think you do too. I believe with all my heart that Barabbas was there when Jesus hung on that cross, beholding, wondering, in amazement, considering, pondering in his heart, "That's my cross. This was my day of execution. That was my time of punishment. That was what I was sentenced to right there. I was supposed to die on that cross for my crimes. And there's Jesus hanging there. For a free man, free to go. My past written off in the courtroom of Rome." And you know, next to Barabbas' name in Caesar's record book, it said, "Free. Jesus of Nazareth crucified instead. In his stead." Barabbas, the robber, the murderer, the criminal, cleared. Because Jesus died in his place. You know what that is, Friends, that is the gospel message right there. That's the New Testament gospel. I have sinned. I am guilty. I am sentenced to die, no doubt about it. I'm bound in chains because of my sin. And living out on death row the last days of my life with other condemned guilty sinners just like me. And my future has already been determined. That future is death, condemnation. And one day the Holy Spirit came and knocked on my jail cell and said, Jesus died in your place. Jesus is paying your penalty. Jesus is suffering for you. Jesus is going to free you. I don't know about you, but I kind of walked out of that old life like I imagine Barabbas walked out of that jail. I really couldn't believe that the devil or the world or the flesh was going to just let me go. I just expected any minute that old life and those old vices and those old habits to just grab me and throw me right back in that jail and say, ha, it was just a joke. Bless God, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't. I got to the doorway of that prison, and my old friends, yeah, they were standing there. The old habits, they were standing there, and the crowd that I used to run with was standing there, and I thought, they'll never let me go. There's no way they'll ever let me go. But guess what? They had to. They had to. It had been decreed by a power on high that they couldn't keep me bound anymore. And I was free. And like old Barabbas, by the time I got out of sight of that jail, I took off running just as fast as I could. I wanted to get as far away from that place as I could get. Now you can say what you want, but I don't believe that Barabbas spent the rest of his days hanging around the jail yard. I believe he stayed as far away from that place as he could get. And that's the way it is when you get set free by Jesus Christ. And then you know what? And listen, if you've been saved, you know this is the truth. It wasn't until a while after the Lord set me free that I really came and took a good look at Calvary and really began to see and understand that Jesus had died in my place. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, I'm not one of these Calvinist fellows. I wasn't saved in eternity. I was saved on the 8th of September, 1991. But I'm telling you something, I didn't understand the cross then. I didn't fully understand Jesus taking my place and paying my sin debt then. But like Barabbas, I couldn't help but go back and take a look and behold the Lord suffering and bleeding and dying in my place. You know what I found out? I don't know how much Barabbas knew about the law. I don't know how much Barabbas understood about government. I don't know how much Barabbas comprehended about the Roman system. But like Barabbas, one day I found out that up in the courtroom of heaven, one day, written next to my name, it said, cleared, all crimes paid in full by Jesus Christ. Friends, that's the gospel message. Barabbas was the first man to ever see it. But thank God he wasn't the last. Set free. Guilty? Yes. Condemned? Yes. Deserving to die? Certainly. But Jesus took his place. Jesus took his place. Died his death. Paid the penalty and cleared, by so doing, cleared him of all charges that were ever leveled against him. I don't know if Barabbas was one of the 120 in the upper room. The Bible doesn't say. I don't know if Barabbas ever became a believer or a disciple. Just don't know. But I know one thing. If anybody ever understood the gospel, that Jesus Christ died as a substitute for sinners, if anybody ever understood what it was like to be guilty but set free by the death of Jesus Christ, it was Barabbas. It was Barabbas. I thank my God he came one day and got me out of that jail cell, freed me from that death sentence, and turned me loose. Amen. Turn over in your Bible. Let's look at a couple more verses before we close this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter, chapter number 2. And verse number 24. 1 Peter 2:24. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Our sins in his body to set us free. Look at chapter 3. Same epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. How do you like that? Barabbas was an unjust man, guilty of sin. Jesus was the just man who had no sin. But in his body, Jesus took upon himself the sin of Barabbas and died that Barabbas might be set free. And he didn't just do that for that one man down there in that prison that day. Bible says he died for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful picture in the Holy Scriptures of how the blood of Christ pays for sinners, sets them free, gives them eternal life. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here today that's never received that as a gift, a free gift from the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that they will find out what they must do to know that they are going to heaven because Jesus died for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.